You can turn that off. Yeah. Thank you, Adam. Good morning to you all. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do have a message I would like to give this day. You can see in my title here is Who Speaks to You? And I'm going to answer that question in the very first slide. So don't worry, I have more. So it's not going to be done in one slide. But if you go to 2 Nephi in the first chapter, we go to verse 95, we'll find the answer about who is speaking to us. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man, after that he hath created our first parents, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created. It must needs be there was an opposition. Even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore, the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore, man could not act for himself, save it be that he was enticed by the one or the other. And so, this description here, I believe it's Lehi speaking to his sons, saying, you know, there are choices that need to be made. And there are influences that come from good, and there are influences that come from evil. We are being spoken to by good, and we are being spoken to by evil. Both things have a say. Both have access to us. And so where did that first begin? Well, if we go to the last book, here's my theme for the day. There's Kronk. I don't know if anybody's seen that movie. It's Emperor's New Groove. It's a funny movie. It came out, when I was 20-some years ago now, I think, maybe longer than that even. But you can hear, he's got his shoulder angel and he's got his shoulder devil. And they both speak to him. And that's the way, I know it's just artist description, but that's kind of how things really are. We don't actually have a physical being on each shoulder, but we're being spoken to by forces of good and by forces of evil. You know, it surrounds us. And people are influenced. And both good and evil have access to us. And so we've got to make this choice. And we've got to make it for the rest of our lives. You know, evil does not give up. Fortunately, good does not give up either. But we are being spoken to. We are being pulled. We are being tempted. We are being admonished by both. And this is battle that goes on. And we can kind of feel like this in the middle here, like it's a little shocking. Who do I listen to? How do I navigate this? How do I know what's good? How do I know what's evil? You know, it's this theme that I have today. There's this battle that goes on. There's a cosmic and spiritual battle which takes place. And we are in the battle space. We are in the battlefield every day. And if we don't recognize that, we're going to be lost. We're going to be influenced by one or the other, even if we don't recognize it. So we have to recognize, hey, we're in a battle. Every day we wake up, we are in a battle. Every day, everything we do, everyone we come across, every contact we make, there's a battle that's taking place for good and for evil. And so we are being spoken to. And so the beginning, if you go to the last book in the Bible, Revelations, tells us all the way back in the beginning, what happened. Revelations in the 12th chapter, starting in verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. If you look at a few scriptures before, or a few verses before, it says, you know, that the devil, Satan, he drew a third part of the stars, you know, so a third of the host of heaven. And how many is that? I don't know. It's a lot. When you look at descriptions and visions that people have seen, they look at heaven, and they look at these numberless concourses of angels, and they can't even number them all, and they're all surrounding God. You know, we can't even number how many there are, and yet he drew a third of them. So how many are there here? I would say quite a few. A lot. Many. And where were they put? They couldn't be in heaven anymore. He cast them down to earth. And so these beings have a place here on earth. because they can't be in heaven, so they were cast out, and they are now among us. In the spiritual sense, they're out there in the world. They exist. And that's when, before man even became, this battle took place. The stage was set, because when you look back in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, Eve was tempted. Again, I don't know exactly the manner of things, but there was this temptation that took place. And I imagine that Satan, since he was down here on the earth, he'd already been cast out of heaven. And this battle began. And Eve was tempted, and Adam was tempted. They succumbed to those temptations. And this battle has been raging for millennia. For as long as time has been time, this battle has gone on. It's older than you and I. It's older than our parents. It's older than any history we can trace back. This battle has been going on as long as time has existed. This war. Now, there's a picture of artist's depiction. It's an Italian artist. He painted this, Rennie, I think is his last name. R-E-N-I, Rennie. I'm not sure if that's how you say it or not. But this is Michael. And his depiction of Michael and that scripture that we just talked about. He's beating Satan there. And I like this picture because in a lot of pictures they depict Satan as like something that's, like he's got horns and he's got red skin, but that's Satan there. He just looks like Michael. He has this human form. That's really kind of what I find that to be, that's what Satan really is. He takes on the form that, doesn't look that much different than you or I. And there's Michael. He also doesn't look that much different than you or I. Now, of course, they're, spiritual. There are major differences. But this battle took place. And Satan was cast out. This is a popular theme among law enforcement. You see, when I go to conventions and things, they have this similar things. Saint Michael, they call him, patron saint of law enforcement. He's, the good guy fighting against evil. And so you see this a lot. But I like this picture. It's Satan being cast out of heaven. Because he can't be there. They cannot exist in the same space. They can't be good and evil residing in the same space. And so, the good news is, Satan was cast out of heaven, but God also has a place here. He also has a voice. We go all the way back into Exodus. In the third chapter, this is where Moses was, he was out tending the flocks to his father-in-law, Jethro. And here we have this story. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes for off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So God knew that there were, that Satan was here on this earth, and that he had to be here as well. And so he calls to us, just as he called to Moses, this influence, this call. Just as Satan is calling to us, and his demons are calling to us, God too calls. And he calls out. And I've always just loved that, verse 5 there. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. It happens only twice that I could find in the Bible. The first time was with Moses. And this bush that's, burning, but it's not consumed. It's got these, this bush here, this artist's depiction, it's got this leaves on it. Yet there's this fire surrounding it. And it's hard to see there. It's kind of in the shadow, but he's got bare feet. Take your shoes off. The other time I read was when Joshua was surveying his battlefield, and he comes across Jesus there. And Jesus tells him the same thing. Take off your shoes. Why would he say take off your shoes? And I read a bunch of different descriptions about that. But the one I liked was, originally this was when you got to your home, as a sign of respect, or somebody else's home, as a sign of respect, you would take off your shoes, And when we are in the presence of Christ, we're home. don't need your shoes anymore. You don't need to walk around in the filth. But we are home. And so he calls to us. He called to Joshua. He called to Moses. He calls to us. You know, there's this influence, this positive influence that's here. And there's good and there is evil. And there is this influence. It's calling. This battle is taking place all around us every day. So we have to be aware. Now this fight has been going on and on and on all the way from the beginning. Christ tells us this. John in the 8th chapter, in the 44th verse. Christ is talking to these Pharisees. And, you know, it's always funny when he's talking to the Pharisees, he always had something very harsh to say. Which is probably why they went and killed him. But this is what he tells them. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So it's from the beginning. I was there. Christ was there in the beginning. He probably partook in this battle, casting Satan out. He lied from the beginning, murdered the truth from the beginning. This fight is older than us. It's been going on long before we got here. Mosiah, second chapter, 26th verse. Is King Benjamin speaking to his people? Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which was the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. So he tells him, this has been passed down from generation to generation. Our ancestors knew of this fight. They knew that Christ and the devil were locked in battle for your soul. And it's old. Peter, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This battle is taking place all around us. And Satan was cast from heaven. He waged a war against God. I want to be in your seat. I want to be above it all. And he lost that fight spectacularly. Lost it. He was cast down. And he cannot win. And he knows that he cannot win that fight. He cannot beat God. And so, who is he after now? It's you. And it's me. I can't have the spot that God has, so I'm going to target what God loves. I'm coming after his people. I'm coming after his creation. I can have success there. And he's been doing it since time began. And he'll do it until time comes to an end. He has many, many tools at his disposal. I'm going to go over a few of them here. You know, these demons, there's a third of them. They're floating around. You think they're just hanging out? Or are they watching? Are they looking? Are they trying to find where they can come in? They have a lot of tools to do that. You know, they know, I said, he's been waging this for all time. You know, Satan is good at what he does. He's subtle when he needs to be. Overbearing when he needs to be. He knows exactly how to play this game. He knows exactly who you are and what your weakness is. Where the chink in your armor is. And he's powerful and wise in the ways of the world. And everything he does is based in lies and deception. That is the basis for all the tools that Satan has. You know, we hear lies and lies all the time. You know, how many people here trust the news? Or are they lying to us? You know, they lie and they lie. Why? Why is it that they lie? Because it makes us question everything. You know, they will tell bold-faced lies because they want you to question everything. Question truth and question God and question man. And they want, that's the idea, is to plant this seed and make you question it all. There is no truth. There is no devil. One of the greatest lies I think he could ever tell is to convince people he's not there, he doesn't exist. If you're fighting a battle and your enemy isn't prepared for you, it's so much easier to win. You could ambush them when they're not expecting it, and that's what Satan does. I don't exist, I'm not here. And then he can take advantage of your lack of knowledge. He can take advantage of you when you're not expecting him. You know, there's this war going on over in Ukraine. You know, Russia's invaded. And why were they able to invade? Why were they able to do that? Because they promised peace. They talked about peace. And everyone in Europe believed it. And so then they spent less and less and less, and they brought their guard down, and they allowed their militaries to become weak. Because there is no evil to fight anymore. And all of a sudden, what happened? They pounced. And now everybody's trying to play catch-up. And they're building up forces, and they're spending more money on hardware and things. And because they got lost, they didn't believe there was an enemy out there. And now it's cost them. They weren't prepared to meet. Now they're trying to play catch-up. And Satan is no different. Lull you into security. I don't exist. There's no problem. There's no danger. Okay. And when our guard gets lowered, he's going to pounce. It's how he wins. It's how he destroys. Through lies, deception. What tool do these demonic forces have? I'm going to change your focus just a little bit. You hear a lot about something that's called, you know, hustling. Hey, you need to get your side hustle on. Go out there and make money. And work these side jobs and work these other angles. And if you're sleeping and you're not making money, then you're doing it wrong. You know, and they've got this, and progress. And you know, it's true. But it's not the focus. It's not why we're here. So if these demons can come in and they whisper in your ear, you know, hey, you need this earthly wealth. You need it. You know, and in the short term, you gain. You can gain this life. There are people out there that have millions upon millions, billions of dollars, wealth untold that they have access to. And most of them are absolutely miserable. They've gained and gained. Their focus has become so much on the gain. And then long term, they're going to lose. Because that's all they've done. Those demons have come in and they've just convinced him, hey, this is important. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with having wealth. Wealth is amoral. It doesn't have good or bad. It's what you do with it. It's not wrong. You see it in the physical side, too. People go out and they work out. People go and they change their bodies through surgery, and that focus just gets changed a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with having six-pack abs. There's not. It's amoral. But when it becomes your focus, when you sacrifice time with your family, time with your children to go spend hours in the gym, you know, that focus gets changed. It gets shifted. Because you're listening to a voice that says, hey, this is a good thing. But it's not the point. And in the long term, you'll lose. You know, demons whisper in our ears. They justify our emotions. And people have heard that. I was born this way. It's true. I was. I was born this way. I'm born the way I was. Born the way I am. But you know what God asks us to do? He asks us to be born again. But it justifies decisions, justifies our emotions. I feel this way for a reason. I'm justified in doing and feeling this way and acting this way. It's how I was made. A little demons whispering in the air. It's my body. How many people have heard that phrase? It's my body. I can do with it what I want. It's true. It is your body. And it justifies this horrid, horrid, terrible action. And you take the body of another to sacrifice for your own. It's true. It's my body. I can do with it what I want. But it's only a half truth. It leads you to justify doing things that are just absolutely terrible. Horrible. It justifies because we have pride. I've seen it over and over again. People that have pride, they are unwilling to learn, they're unwilling to yield, they're unwilling to change. Because those demons are in their ear, telling them it's okay. Justify it, it's okay. Temptations. All these demons are out and about. They're speaking to us in temptation. Whatever it may be. So many temptations, so many things that will take our time, so many things that feel good. They do, they feel good. Again, in the short term. It feels good. But long term, we're going to lose. Long term, you're going to lose connections. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your soul long term. These temptations, they come, they're subtle. And in the moment, they may seem so good. Selfishness. I deserve this. I've earned it. I want this. We start festering those things in our mind and let them grow and build. And you know what? Oftentimes, it leads to bitterness because we don't get what we want. We don't get what we think we deserve. So you're working with cops for almost 2 decades now, and there's a lot of bitterness in there. I didn't get what I thought I deserved. And that's probably true of any profession. I was bypassed. I didn't get the position I wanted. I didn't get the equipment I wanted. I didn't get, that bitterness just builds. And you see people after 20-some years working in there, they're done. They hate it. They hate life. They hate showing up to work. And they're just bitter. Because they're selfish. They had that little demon whispering in their ear, you deserve this. Hey, don't you want this? Idolatry. Just having their spirituality. That's kind of a funny thing. But you know what? So many people today, they claim spirituality. They claim that they have a spirit. They understand, they tap into certain mechanisms. They tap into, nature. They tap into the mind. And they claim spirituality. Hey, it's okay for you to believe that. It's okay for you to believe that. It's okay. We're all spirits. All paths lead to the top of the mountain. And they claim this spirituality. They idolize nature. They idolize, whatever it is, success. And all these things become idols in the name of spirituality. That's a tool that Satan and his agents use. Violence. Demons. Love, violence, especially against the innocent. Every murderer, every rapist, every slave taker have that whispering in their ear. They didn't start off here. They went through this, probably a lot of these other things here. They justified why. They were tempted. They had selfishness. They had idolatry. All these things are alive, and it leads to this violence. You hear of stories, in these news stories, you say there was a lone gunman who went in and to a school, committed horrible acts of murder. Was he alone? Was he truly alone, or did he have someone that was nourishing him, feeding him, justifying him? Someone was speaking to him. He was influencing him. His ultimate goal. What is his ultimate goal? He wants your soul. That's what he wants. He can't have his throne. He's going to make his own kingdom. And he wants you to be a part of it. He wants to share in misery. That's what he wants. And he's going to use whatever it takes. Whatever weakness you have, if you've got pride, jealousy, pain, insecurity, addictions, lust, envy, hatred, malice, anything, bitterness, those are all doorways to your soul. It's his way in. He's going to, not all of us suffer from all of these, but you know, if we suffer from one or two, he sees it, he knows it, and he's going to play it against you. He wants to possess you. If you can be possessed in this life, he'll do it. Look in Mark in the 5th chapter. There was these unclean spirits where Jesus went across the sea there in Galilee, and they came up on the shores, and there was this man running around. They couldn't bind him down. They tried with chains. He would break them. He's ran around. He was knocking skulls. And they came, and Jesus identified him. So and the spirits that were in him identified Christ. So we're legion. We're many. We're so many inside this man. Somewhere he had something in that list there. And his soul became open. And all those spirits were able to take possession. You look in Luke in the 4th chapter, and Jesus is casting out many devils. Because Satan wants, if he can possess our souls in this life, he'll do it. But how do they get in? Again, one of those things up there, no doubt. It's the window to your soul, an entryway. Look in Acts in the 16th chapter, Paul, he casts out a demon, calls it a demon of divination. It was that woman who was going around, and they were soothsaying, they were using her, they kept her. And she was owned by this demon. He was able to tell the future. And she harassed Paul for 2 days. And Paul finally rebuked her, the demon that was in her. And then they went and beat Paul and imprisoned him for doing it. But he will possess you if he can. Because we have these examples that are here in Scripture. But I've got good news. I was kind of gloom and doom there for a while, but I've got some good news. 2 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should gain an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We know his plan. God knows his plan. And if you have the plans of the enemy, you can overcome. And we know it. God knows it. He knows what Satan is all about. He knows what he's capable of. He knows his playbook. We are not ignorant. More good news. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. He has a plan. A plan to overcome, that give us an end that he knows is possible. We have to seek him out. You know, in Mosiah, 1st chapter, 55th verse, he tells us about this plan. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. Good news. The plan is simple. It's not hard. Because Satan cannot exist where God is. It's impossible. God knows his plan. He knows there are mechanisms that Satan can occupy your soul. There are mechanisms where God can occupy your soul. And we pray over the communion. We ask a prayer. And part of that prayer is so that his spirit may be with them. We can be occupied by demons, but we can also be occupied by the Spirit of Christ. And we can fight and we can win. We can expect to win. So there's tools that he's given us to ensure that we're not serving Satan, to ensure that we are not possessed of his spirits. And the first is faith in God. It's an important one. We have to believe. In Ether, in the 5th chapter, the 3rd verse, for he did cry from the morning until the evening, this is talking about Ether, even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God and to repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying to them, by faith, all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast always, abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. Oh, this anchor, this faith, because the tools of Satan leave us drifting, and God gives us anchor, gives us hope. And that expected end that Jeremiah was talking about. So after belief, we need to pray. We need to communicate. Talk to God. How often? Often. 2 Nephi 15, verse 11. For if you would hearken unto the spirit which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. So there it is. Those influences. If you're being told, don't go before God. Don't pray. You don't need to do that now. That is an evil spirit sitting on your shoulder, speaking that to you. But the Spirit of God teaches us that we should pray. But behold, I say unto you, you must pray always. And faint not, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Always. You know, if we're always communicating with God, if we're always seeking him out, you know, it doesn't leave room for Satan and his demons to possess us. Because Satan cannot exist where Christ is. That's why he was cast from heaven. It's impossible. They cannot occupy the same space. There's not a little bit of evil that can take place while God is there. They cannot exist in the same plane. Another tool, must consume the Word of God. You know, Satan's, all his tools are based in deception and lies. So we must consume the Word of God. He gave us truth. He wrote it down. His apostles, his elders, they wrote these things down and they passed them on so that we have truth. So we know what a lie is. We don't have to question everything. But it only comes if we're consuming the Word of God. 2 Nephi 13:29, wherefore you must press forward with the steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. Feasting on the word of God, reading his truth, so that we know when we face a lie. 2 Timothy tells us much the same thing. 3rd chapter, 15th verse. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's the antidote to the lies, antidote to the selfishness, antidote to bitterness. All those things that the demons speak into our ears. It corrects, it guides, it reproves. So we have to consume the Word of God. I'm going to wrap up with this story. It's in Acts. in the 19th chapter. It's 10 verses here, 11 to 20. And in these 10 verses, it talks about miracles taking place, healings. It talks about a demonic possession. It talks about a fight where seven men get beat up by one guy. It talks about naked men streaking. I'm just the messenger, okay? It's in the Bible. We'll read it. Okay. Tells about a book burning. Tells about people confessing their sin. Tells about the work of the gospel growing. 10 verses. How can all of that take place in just 10 verses? Who knew? Scriptures were so exciting, huh? So, Paul set the background. He's in Ephesus. He's there. He's baptizing and he's preaching. In the first part of the chapter, these men were baptized unto John's baptism. And he comes back in, tells them about the baptism of Christ, and they get baptized again. And then pick it up in verse 11 here. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So Paul is going around. He's healing people of sickness. He's casting out evil spirits. And I don't know how it works exactly, but this was working so well. He was doing so much good there. In verse 12 here we find, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So they were taking things that Paul was wearing and using those objects somehow to cast out, these evil spirits. Now, you go into verse 13 here. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, and now that's a kind of a funny phrase there, these vagabond Jews. What I understand, they were kind of like gypsies, and they would go around. And it says right there, vagabond Jews, exorcists. They would go about and they would try and cast out evil spirits. And they hear about Paul, and they hear about these things that are taking place. And so, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preachest. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So these guys that were here, they were kind of like these little gypsy type people that would go around. They didn't have a place, a home. They didn't have a temple. They were going around performing some kind of exorcism on people and casting out spirits. And so they see what's happening, and they get a hold of these objects, and they go and they call people over. I'm like, hey, come to us, and in the name of Jesus, the one that Paul's talking about, we're going to cast out these spirits. We'll see how that works out for him here. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? I didn't know I had this fear until I read this story, And imagine trying to cast out an evil spirit, and the evil spirit's like, I know who Christ is. I know who Jose is. I know who Adam is. Who are you? I don't know you. And he didn't know these men. They were hijacking the name of Christ, trying to use it for their own purposes. Trying to use it so that they could get gain. You see any of that in the world today? Christians in name only. They claim Christ, but they don't live Christ. Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of their house naked and wounded. So seven of these guys got beat up by one guy, wounded, ripped all their clothes off, and they fled. Took off. They couldn't deal with this guy. Seven of them couldn't handle him. That's how much power demons have, how much power Satan has if you allow him in. Verse 17, this was known to all Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So everyone hears about this story. Now you can't just say that you know Jesus. The evil spirit, what is the first thing he said? I know Jesus. And when you go back and you look at all those other things where they were cast out, They know Jesus. They know exactly who he is. I hope you all know Jesus, but there's something else. It has to be done. You have to do more than just know Christ. Verse 18, and many believed. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So there's a change there. They believed. Hey, I believe in Jesus, but there's something else. I confess my sins. Here's what I've done. There's this difference between knowing Jesus and following Jesus. And they could see the difference right there in front of them. These men who came in, they knew Jesus, but they did not follow him. They were unable to handle this evil spirit. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So these other people who came in, they saw this. They said, all right, Jesus is real. I believe in him. These other things that we've been doing, I can see that there's no power in them. I can see that they're wrong. They're distracting me from the real. And they burned them at a book burning. Now, this wasn't a government-issued book burning. All right, those are bad. Right? We don't want the government issuing out. But this was people coming up. You know what? I see the value in what Paul is saying. I see the value in Christ, and this has become worthless. 50,000 pieces. I'm not sure what that translates to, but 50,000 pieces of silver was probably a great sum back in Paul's day. We're talking millions of dollars, probably. I'm going to give it all up. It's worthless. Get rid of it. Because of that, look in verse 20, so mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. You know, God wins. His plan overcomes. Again, there's this difference between knowing God and following him. Mark 1:23, there was in their synagogues a man with unclean spirits, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. No, it's not enough to believe. The demons believe. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. They know him well. We've got to do something more than just believe. You call yourself a Christian. What does that mean? Does that mean I show up on Sunday and I sit in the pew? Does that make you a Christian? Just because you're sitting in the driver's seat of a car, does that make you a driver? No. In order to be a driver, you've got to start the car, put it in gear. So coming here, while important, is not the measure. You may know Jesus, but are you living it? You may know Christ. You may know God, but it's not enough. We have to act. We have to confess. So I began this service with a question, who speaks to you? But you know, the real question we all need to answer is, who are you listening to? Who is it that you hearken to? Whose precepts are you following? Mosiah 2:13. Believe in God. Believe that he is. That he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Now, God and Satan cannot exist in the same place. If you want God's Spirit to be with you, you must be humble. Forsake your sins. Ask for forgiveness. And God's Spirit will reside within you. Thank you for your time.